Hi, friends. Welcome to True Crime Storytime. I am your host, Ivana Estelle. This week, I invite you all to step into a single moment. A moment that was turned into a humorous meme, continuously shared, representing scenarios across the nation. But the truth behind the video was much more sinister. The celebrity story today is one I never in a million years thought I'd tell. Yet, here we are. This is the case of Cuba Gooding Jr. The Cuba Gooding Jr. perp walk. Have you heard of it? Times like this, I wish this was a YouTube channel so I could show you, but it's pretty memorable. You've got this disheveled Cuba Gooding Jr. in a suit and tie being led by police in custody. His hands are behind his back. He has that weird Afro hawk that was like big in 2014 and is wearing the most confused, crooked smile. At first, when you see this sight, you think it's funny. No, seriously, nothing screams social justice. He looks like a child who just got caught and is embarrassed. It was June 13th, 2019, and the NYPD, who were also dressed up, were arresting Cuba Gooding Jr. for an assault in which Cuba claimed he was innocent of. 3 days later, on the 16th, Twitter user @WillHayes_24 tweeted a clip of the video set to the song Black Skinhead by Kanye West. They captioned the post, "Me being escorted out of Smoothie King Center for ripping off my shirt and chugging two beers like Stone Cold Steve Austin after Lonzo throws his first alley to Zion." The post received more than 9 million views, 980 likes, and 380 retweets in less than 1 week. And then it made its way across the internet to all sides of Twitter, including Black Twitter, the funniest Twitter, might I add. Which, for those who don't know, that's basically Black people tweeting and becoming a community. It's like talking about societal issues, pop culture, all together. It's like we all know each other, even though we definitely don't. On June 18th, Twitter user @Gibran_lastname posted a version of the video with the caption that said, "When you catch me at the movies after I paid for one ticket, but snuck out to see three movies and brought my own food." The post received more than 47,000 views, 2,000 likes, and 400 retweets in less than 1 week. And don't get me wrong, it was really funny. I know I used that screenshot in a group chat before. But let's backtrack a bit. Because before his arrest was a meme, he was a famed actor whose private life took a dark turn. Cuba Gooding Jr. is, I'd say, an A-list B-plus actor. You've probably heard of him or seen him in one of his movies. He's been in things like Boys in the Hood, a classic, Gladiator, A Few Good Men, Outbreak, Hill Street Blues, Coming to America, one of my favorites, Radio, and don't judge me, before all this went down, that football movie made me cry. I mean, this man was in everything, like American Gangster, Rat Race, The People vs. OJ, for my true crime lovers, American Horror Story, Tuskegee Airmen. The man has accolades. Cuba grew up in the Bronx. He was born on January 2nd, 1968. His mother, Shirley Sullivan, was a singer, and his father, Cuba Gooding Jr., was lead vocalist of a soul group called The Main Ingredient. Growing up, his family moved to Los Angeles in 1972 after his father's music group started to really get in stride. 2 years later, that same father left the family. Can you believe it? Like you get a little bit of fame and you abandon your kids? Leaving Shirley Sullivan with four kids, Cuba, April, Omar, and Thomas. Cuba was raised by his mother and attended four different high schools, North Hollywood High School, Tustin High School, Apple Valley High School, and John F. Kennedy High School in Granada Hills in Los Angeles. He served as class president in like three of them. He became a born-again Christian at the age of 13. In high school, Cuba met his wife-to-be, Sarah Kafer. They became high school sweethearts with three kids, two sons, Spencer and Mason, and a daughter, Piper. His wife was with him every step of the way as his career really bloomed. Cuba started working in the late 80s, with his breakout role being in 1991, Boys in the Hood. but he didn't want to be boxed in by just playing certain characters. If you aren't familiar, Hollywood has a way of placing people of color in specific roles. If you're of color, you're either a thug or a best friend with no life of your own, or oddly enough, a head nurse or a police chief. There isn't much dynamic. Cuba, on all accounts, wanted different for himself. He was able to push to work in different films that gave him diverse characters, like in 1996 when he was able to be casted as an arrogant yet charismatic football player in Cameron Crowe's dramatic sports comedy, Jerry Maguire, with co-star Tom Cruise, which was a major critical and commercial success and was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Picture, and it earned Cuba an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. Honestly, a lot of people kind of slept on Cuba Gooding Jr. They didn't really think he acknowledged his black roots, but his career truly spoke for itself. In 2014, he appeared as civil rights movement attorney Fred Gray in the widely acclaimed historical drama Selma. He has since appeared much more frequently on television, including performances as Samuel Francis in the miniseries The Book of Negroes, as a comedically embellished version of himself on Big Time in Hollywood. And, like I said before, as O.J. in the anthology series American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson. I actually like that series, and I'm not big on the whole serial killer portrayal. I think it's tone deaf, but I do like a true crime case that's covered as a short series, as long as the families are okay with it. But 2014 was also a rough year for Cuba, personally. His wife filed for separation. Leading up to it, Cuba had gone on to do interviews talking about how much he loved his wife and wanted them to work things out. But it seemed that wasn't in the cards, and by 2017, the couple divorced. Now, this kind of seems like when Cuba begins to spiral, because up until this point, Cuba's sweet image began to change. Some would call it a midlife crisis, struggling from a bad breakup, but publicly, he began to act out. He was known for throwing racy parties. His drinking was escalating, and it was around this time he gained a reputation for hanging out with young women. Cuba is in his late 40s at this point. He was reprimanded online in 2017 after images circulated of him online seemingly looking under Sarah Paulson's skirt during the Pally Fest panel. His response at the time was, "I love that lady. That is Sarah Paulson. We have banter like brother and sister," which is how the spirit of the whole panel was. Yet that image was taken out to represent some kind of sexual misconduct, and that wasn't my intent. He added, "The first person when I heard about the fervor I called was Sarah. I said, 'I love you. I see you as my sister.' And she said, 'I feel the same way about you.' And so I let it go." Now, I don't know. I think brother, sister, or not, Sarah was put in a really inappropriate and uncomfortable position. At this time, Cuba's sons are in their early 20s. They're in school, figuring out their careers, which include acting, and his daughter is pretty young, maybe in middle school. So this was all a bit much for them. Cuba publicly spoke about trying to set an example, which you can only imagine is devastating, when on June 13th, 2019, Cuba was booked on charges of misdemeanor, forcible touching, and sexual abuse in the third degree in New York City, relating to an incident in which he allegedly groped a woman at a bar in Times Square. Now, by this time, Cuba is dating Claudine De Niro. She was married to Rafael De Niro, the son of actor Robert De Niro, from 2008 to 2017. The two met and fell in love, and things seem to suggest that Cuba was turning things around. But apparently that wasn't the case in 2019, when Cuba was accused of grabbing a woman's breast at the New York City bar, the Magic Hour Rooftop Lounge. Now, this is around 10:15 on Sunday. Cuba and Claudine were sitting on a couch in the Magic Hour Rooftop Lounge in New York City when the victim sat down next to them. Almost immediately, in the footage, you see Cuba reach over Claudine and place his hand on the woman's left thigh. A few seconds later, his hands move up to her breast, and the victim puts her hand on his. What happens next is open to interpretation. She either pushes his hand back toward him or pulls her hand to his mouth and kisses it. Another man then walks over and stands in front of the group. He puts his hands on the shoulders of Cuba and the victim, leans over, and appears to be talking to the entire group. Now, this is when shit gets weirder. As the man gyrates, drawing attention to his crotch, it appears Cuba and his girlfriend playfully paw at this person's, like, Netherland area. The guy also takes a drink away from Cuba. A few people join the group and everyone's casually chatting for a few minutes. Then they all walk away separately, but in the same direction. About 3 minutes after the initial touching, there's no argument. About 30 minutes later, Cuba and Claudine were downstairs, lounging on a couch and making out. A man, working security, was standing next to the couch when the victim approached him and started arguing. The victim's face is blurred to protect her identity, but she appears to say, "Yes, he did." She repeated that after the security guard shook his head, it's unclear if Cuba heard their conversation, but he actually got up, stumbled, and then walked right past them both. Claudine and the security guard followed right behind him. Now, of course, one could say, what's the big deal? But this can also be interpreted as a fan come and say hello and a drunken celebrity just gropes her. How would you feel if someone felt entitled enough to do that to you? Or your sister or daughter, female friend? This is only the tip of the iceberg. Cuba's released and says that he's innocent and the footage will prove that. But on October 10th, he was indicted on a separate additional sexual abuse charge. Cuba's trial for allegedly groping the woman was unexpectedly adjourned in October. However, the victim, who was 29 at the time, was able to share more of the events from that night. The woman told authorities that Cuba was heavily intoxicated, so she offered him a cup of water. While the two were in the midst of conversation, the woman alleges that Cuba groped her breasts, at which point they got into an argument. The woman told the police that she left the bar and immediately called 911. Although Cuba was already escorted out and no longer on the scene when authorities arrived, police were able to confirm his presence at Magic Hour Bar, and the video surveillance was shortly after published by TMZ. The charges were eventually dropped or thrown out, or better yet, disappeared, but that didn't mean Cuba was in the clear. See, in the time of his arrest, police said that they were investigating a second allegation from a woman who said that she was groped by the actor over a decade ago. Authorities said the woman, who has not been identified, initially came forward after seeing news about the June incident. The second woman reportedly accused Cuba of grabbing her butt in 2008 at Butter Restaurant in Manhattan. New York, however, has a 5-year statute of limitations on these sexual assaults, so it was not immediately clear whether he could be charged for these allegations. By August of 2020, 30 women came forward accusing Cuba of unwanted sexual touching. Now, during this time, if you can bring your mind back, we were in the heart of COVID, and race relations were extremely high. In fact, Cuba wore a Black Lives Matter wording on the inside of his mask. By 2020, Cuba was in and out of court, and debate became, is this a black man takedown, or is this man really a sexual deviant that's assaulting women? Post-Cosby and the Me Too movement brought women coming forward of abuse, which meant a lot of men were finally being brought to light. But the question was, is this real? Did Cuba really assault these women? Though 30 women came forward by 2020, only 3 different accounts were actually being faced in court, in separate incidences involving 3 different women in New York. Cuba pleaded not guilty to all charges and denied any wrongdoing. One of those incidences allegedly involved a waitress at a club who says Cuba forcibly touched her in September of 2018. His attorney was seeking testimony from other staffers seen in the video around the time of the incident. Prosecutors argue that whether or not staffers saw something, it doesn't indicate one way or another that the victim would have reported it. This victim has remained nameless for a lot of reasons, but one being that Cuba's attorney would use her posts online about her past, trauma, and body issues as an explanation for why this case was happening. And I mean, that's just gross. Like, whether she posts online or not has nothing to do with Cuba inappropriately touching her. And the thing is, Cuba did more than that. He forcibly groped her and kissed her, to which Cuba's attorney alleged that since the woman, based on her social media profile, also believed in more casual relationships than monogamous, that maybe that cast doubt on what happened. You already know what I'm going to say. 2 things can be true. Someone, man or woman, can want casual sex and still not want it with you. Following this, an unnamed woman accused Cuba of raping her in 2013 in a New York hotel room. They allegedly met for drinks one night. He invited her up to his hotel room, and that's where he raped her. Now, Cuba denied these allegations, and here's the eerie thing. I haven't seen anything else about it. Nothing has come up in the news, not even the discussion of them settling outside of court. Most women remained anonymous, except for one, Claudia Ostry. During an episode of her podcast, The Morning Toast, one day before Cuba turned himself into the police and appealed in court over the sexual misconduct brought on by a different woman, Claudia recalled, "All I have to say is me too. I feel so weird about it because at the end of the day, I don't know how I've ever considered myself a victim of sexual assault because I'm not. I would never compare myself to them. But yes, when I was in high school, I was fucking 16 years old. Cuba Gooding Jr. put his finger on my butt and I felt wild." She continued, "I was genuinely confused. No one has ever touched me without my consent before. I wasn't planning on turning around and seeing a celebrity, just your average New York City degenerate. The entire thing happened so fast. It was the weirdest thing ever." Claudia has found herself in trouble for several racist tweets she wrote when she was a teenager that resurfaced online. I'm not familiar with her, but I guess she's an influencer and her show is popular enough for those tweets to resurface. But she acknowledged that she didn't contact authorities at the time of the Cuba Gooding Jr. incident because she feared she would get in trouble for being in a club underage and using a fake ID, adding that she only told her friends and family at the time. But due to the recent allegations that have been levied against the actor, Claudia felt that it was important to speak out. She explained, "I figure the best revenge was to leverage my platform so everyone knows what a creep Cuba Gooding Jr. is." Cuba has vehemently denied Claudia's claims through his attorney, Mark Heller. In an ET statement, Mark Heller said, "Cuba has no idea who this woman is. Cuba has indicated that nothing like that, what she said happened, has ever taken place, and he's never engaged in that kind of conduct that she's describing." And listen, you can have mixed opinions on Claudia, from her tweets to her intentions with her podcast, but if she recalls being inappropriately touched, that is something that no one should experience or go through. And there are 29 other women who say that Cuba has a reputation for these actions. Cuba Gooding Jr. was formally charged for 3 incidences, each resulting in misdemeanor charges of forcibly touching and third-degree sexual abuse. On April 12, 2022, Cuba pleaded guilty to forcibly touching a woman at a New York nightclub in 2018, telling the judge he kissed the waitress on the lips without her consent at the Lavo nightclub. He also admitted to the 2 other alleged incidences of non-consensual contact, which took place in October of 2018 and June of 2019. As term of the plea agreement, Cuba is expected to continue alcohol and behavior modification treatment for 6 months and have no new arrests. After that time, he can replead to harassment. If he successfully follows the terms and repleads to the lesser charge, Cuba can face a sentence of time served. If he does not comply with the terms, Cuba could face up to 1 year in jail. Now, as for the other women who have come forward, it seems like things quieted down and there isn't any further movement into that. Cuba had to stop drinking and he is in counseling. So the question is, what does this all mean? He finally admitted to at least 2 of the accusations, but are all 30 true? Did he rape that woman in 2013? Is there a motive to completely cancel Cuba Gooding Jr. and end his career? Or is this the horrific monster who touches women without their consent? Clearly, Cuba is battling addiction issues and that began to spiral. But the thing is, at least 2 to 3 women that we know of were hurt by that. So many people debate on cancel culture. And if this was a way to take a successful black man down in Hollywood, I'll say this. I've heard this debate many times. When one woman quote unquote lies, it makes the rest unbelievable. But I also know that more times than not, women have been too afraid to come forward or have come forward and they weren't believed. And it wasn't based on some strange statistic about one woman that may or may not have lied. And I'll also note a few names that may sound familiar to you. Woody Allen, Donald Trump, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, Dustin Hoffman, Kevin Spacey, Bill O'Reilly, Casey Affleck, Roman Polanski, R. Kelly, Mike Tyson, John Travolta, CeeLo Green, Bryan Singer, Kevin Costner, Jared Leto, Rob Lowe, Lena Dunham, Arnold Schwarzenegger, James Franco, Ben Affleck, Andy Dick, Ed Westwick, And that's just to name a few who have all had the same thing in common with Cuba Gooding Jr. They've been accused. And I haven't even included politicians and athletes. So they can't all be framed. Cuba Gooding Jr. has now gone back to acting. He avoided jail time and seems to live a more quiet life. I'll let you come up with the moral to this story. Thank you all for joining me this week. We are now at our true crime fact of the episode, and it's about me. Ooh, that sounds bad, but it's an Ivana fact of the day. I went to dinner recently, and I was asked why I like true crime. I'll save you all the tangent. It's about the fascination of people and preserving memories of victims. But my first true crime podcast that got me hooked? Crime Junkies. I think most of us can say that's where we started. And the TV show? Snapped, of course. Thank you all for joining me this week. You can check out my sources for today's episode on IvanaEstelle.com. My socials are at IvanaEstelleTrueCrime on Insta and TikTok and at IvanaEstelle, my regular page. Although I'll be honest, if you're binging, you can go on and go to the next episode. But if you're here in real time, I haven't been posting on social media as often. I needed to take a break. Honestly, my mental health really needed it. And with stress from school and work, it's really hard for someone like me to not struggle with my depression and anxiety. It's something that I'm really candid about in my personal life, but I figured it'd be fair to share here. So if you're listening and you need a friend, I'm here because I get it. If you're listening and you're wondering where I've been, thank you for caring, and I'm okay. Till next time, safe journey, keep walking in the light, with love, Ivana Estelle.